Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to another Pitt Panther Rants and Other Sports Rants podcast. Wyatt Harris, your host, brought to you by The Sports Drink. Happy Thursday to you guys as the NCAA tournament is underway. This weekend is the Sweet 16 and Final Four games. It's Sweet 16 Elite Eight games. This is the weekend what determines the Final Four. As I'm not sure where I was. I was pretty much way ahead of myself on that. I know the Final Four is going to be here in Houston. I'm probably not going to be able to make it to that Final Four, but I am looking to possibly see if I can go to the championship game, I'm thinking. I know that the tip-off is to be determined, but it depends on what tip-off is, because I'd like to go check out a game if I can, the championship game if I can. I just think that'd be cool. I haven't really looked at my tournament challenge because it's pretty much a moot point because, well, it's just I had Kansas winning it all. And when I was looking at the betting lines for the round of 32, I saw like the betting lines for Kansas weren't that great. But then I forgot when I was picking these games that Bill Self wasn't there. And they obviously missed Bill Self. So, whatever. So, let's see here. Let's look at the brackets. Well, before we get into that, I need to get into some other stuff. Because a lot's happened. Well, not really. The rodeo was here in Houston. And I was tempted to go try all the foods, but I don't know. Almost every entree was like $20. I mean, Bun B has his burgers called Trill Burgers, and even they like I think a burger and fries was $25. And of course you have all the deep fried stuff, and of course all the stuff that's encrusted with hot Cheetos, and hot Cheetos they're not bad, but some of the stuff I was looking at, I was like, I could probably just make this at home. It's not that much of a, doesn't seem that too complicated. I mean, I always like a deep fried Oreo or Snickers or cheesecake. Those are good. I mean, but a lot of the other entrees, I'm like, they had a turkey leg for $25 and it's just a smoked turkey leg. That's it. $25. So I just didn't really see, well, last time I was there, there was a Polish stand, and I got, a big slab of bacon for, I think it was $10 or $15. It was a really big, thick piece of bacon. And, of course, I had chocolate-covered bacon, which, it's just bacon dipped in chocolate. it wasn't anything complex about it. I also had a deep-fried cheesecake, I remember. And it's just a frozen cheesecake, and they batter and deep fry, and it really, it's just, the radio is basically an excuse to go eat. But I went because a person told me she got free tickets to the New Kids on the Block because they were playing at the rodeo. And of course I was invited to go. And my therapist told me I need to get out more and do stuff and not be a hermit, which she's probably right. Let's be honest. I could probably do that. I just didn't want to sit in that traffic. I mean, the show started at 7:20, and I got there, and the show wasn't even they weren't even playing anything yet. It was all for the next 2 hours. I sat and watched freaking guys ride bulls, ride horses, catch cows, little kids chasing little baby calves around. It was, you know, people riding horses, you know, doing all these, you know, turns and whatnot, races, you know, horse ragging races and all kind of shit. And yeah, I sat there for 2 hours doing this. I was like, I really just want to go to the carnival and just go eat a bunch of, you know, overpriced shit. But I sat with her, you know, and her friends and watched this stuff. But she did pay for my food because I went and got a sandwich up at the stand. And there was a well-known barbecue joint that was selling their food. And I got their brisket sandwich. And I was pretty disappointed by it. I think a brisket sandwich on Coke was like $25. I have to look at, let me look at that. Do I have that receipt? Let me take a look here. Take a look. Let me pause this. Okay, the sandwich was 16, but the Coke, it was like a 16-ounce Coke bottle. Or maybe it was a 20-ounce Coke. $5.75. So, yeah, well, I didn't spend it. Actually, she bought it, but the sandwich itself was all right. I mean, the brisket was good. One thing that kind of irks me about these type of sandwiches is that it was on some sort of artisan roll, and it had these artisan pickles on it, and these little fancy onions, and it was kind of disappointing, because to me, a good barbecue sandwich, chopped beef or a brisket sandwich, or, you know, it should come on like a regular burger bun, you know, that you buy at the store. And it should have those dill pickle spears, you know, that you normally put, you know, that you buy at the grocery store, and the onions, you know, white onions chopped up, and the sauce. And there wasn't much sauce on this either. And it just, the whole sandwich itself was just, I don't know, it was just really, really disappointing. I mean, it filled me up. But overall, it was like this, you know, I guess if you're spending $20-something on a sandwich and a drink, you might as well get on some fancy bread and whatnot. Which is also another thing that irks me living down here, is like the pizza scene isn't great, and all the great pizzas I see are all these overpriced artisan looking pizzas. And it's like, I tried some of them and they always fall short of my expectations. It looks good, but the crust ends up being really soft and really chewy, and it's like there's no crisp or no nothing. I mean, it's maybe the water is just different down here. It could be as well. I don't know. But getting to the concert started, and I will say it was pretty loud. And that episode of South Park where the boys form a boy band called Finger Bang, it was pretty much very accurate in describing a boy band concert. There were women older, my age, and I'm 43. So there were women that were either my age or older, screaming like they were teeny boppers again at these guys. I mean, the new kids, these guys are in their 50s now. But I mean, they're in great shape and they still can dance and sing. But I will say they started out with all their like up tempo, loud, fast, you know, whatever, or dance music tracks. And then later they slowed down because you could tell they were getting tired. And they started having, you know, the crowd sing because they were playing random songs. Like they were playing like some Bon Jovi, some Bellevue DeVoe, and all kind of other stuff. And they were just, you know, having a crowd sing along. And then, like, you know, once pretty much all their hits were performed, that's when a lot of people started leaving. I think after after Jor and I perform I'll Be Loving You, I think that's when a lot of them left. Because, I mean, I think the only tracks that were left after that were, I think, was probably maybe Step by Step. And, of course, they closed out with Hanging Tough. I mean, they start out with, like, Donnie Wahlberg singing Cover Girl, and it was like, I mean, the track was like almost like a rock track, and he had his cowboy hat on, and they were going to each part of the stage, you know, because, you know, they were in the middle of the thing, of the stadium, and they were just going around. And now the biggest ripoff, I think, were the field level seats, because these people were still so far away from the stage. Although the New Kids did come out to that area and they were taking pictures and whatnot. But it was funny when Wahlberg was performing Cover Girl. He lifts up his shirt to show his bare chest, and the girls are just screaming. He starts gyrating his hips and all this other stuff, and they were screaming even louder. I mean, I will say, I'll hand it. I mean, I thought this was going to be a big joke, but they put on a pretty rocking concert it's basically people drinking and having a good time and singing, dancing. I mean, I was impressed. I mean, I'll admit, I wasn't a New Kids fan growing up. I absolutely hated them, but I can see why girls love these guys. But overall, I mean, it wasn't a bad time. You know, I got to say I did something. But anyways, that was that. And I went home, and you know, my kids had spring break the next week, and you know, I spent my time working because most of my coworkers they were out of the office, and so I didn't get much happy time. But whatever. Anyways, yeah, March Madness started. You know, Pitt concluded their, you know, the ACC tournament didn't end well for Pitt, and you know, they got selected in the tournament, and they were given a play-in for 11th seed, and I really wasn't happy with that. And I, you know, because me growing up, all the years I've watched the NCAA tournament, to me, the games start on Thursdays. The real NCAA tournament games start on Thursdays. But when Pitt got selected, I didn't make any comments because I just didn't really want. I felt if I did, I would be pissing on what they accomplished. I just hate playing games. But I will say, when Pitt played their playing game that day, it did give me some perspective. Because that's the night they played, the NIT games were playing the same night as well. So I probably more likely, if Pitt was in the NIT, I'd be watching them wishing they could have been in that play-in game instead. And in a lot of ways, I'm actually kind of glad that, you know, I guess you can say I'm happy now that they got the playing game now. I'm just happy they got something. And they gave us another memory or two before the season concluded. You know, they won the play-in. It was a close game. Pitt, for some reason, had a hard time playing with the lead, and they kept shooting threes when they didn't need to towards the end. And, of course, the missed basket. I mean, the guy was wide open, but it was nice to have some luck on our side for once. Then they played Iowa State and beat the crap out of them. Xavier, unfortunately, Pitt had their match, and you know, Sean Miller was gonna wreck Pitt. That was quite obvious. But you know, this team had a hell of a year. And like I said, one of my tweets, they really didn't have to prove their worth to anybody. Because there was people like, especially like the, you know, the local media, there were some West Virginia alums, you know, local media saying, well, it's a shame that Pitt has to play, you know, to earn their way in the tournament. Meanwhile, West Virginia was a nine seed, and they lost to, you know, a really shitty Maryland team. But, you know, West Virginia does have that 7-11 conference record to fall back on, you know, and to celebrate. Because, you know, that's the big thing, right? The conference record. That's a huge thing. Because, you know, the Big 12 was such a tough league, and a tough, you know, it's tough for the NBA. And, you know, that's 7 wins. I mean, that's the equivalent of maybe going undefeated in the ACC. But let's be honest, the ACC for the most part was hot garbage this year, and it's pretty much shown in the tournament as well. I mean, Virginia, I thought Virginia looked good early in the year, and they just, oof. Same with Duke. I mean, I had Duke going deep in the tournament because I thought they were going to ride the wave of the ACC, you know, title and, you know, tournament title, and no, not that either. But as we look at some of tonight's games, FAU and Tennessee should win that one. I think it's going to be Tennessee and Michigan State in the Elite Eight. I think MSU goes to the Final Four. Gonzaga and UCLA is going to be a tough one, but I think UCLA pulls that one off. I think it's going to be a UCLA-UConn Elite Eight. Probably UConn wins. You know, probably Xavier and Texas. I think Texas wins that one. Texas got some really good athletes. I just, you know. But whoever wins that game, I think Xavier and Texas probably goes to the Final Four, because Houston just doesn't seem like they have enough to show me. I mean, I don't know. I'm not sure about Miami either. That's Midwest. So, I have Michigan State going, the West, UConn, Midwest, I'm going to go with Texas, and then the South bracket, probably, let's see, Alabama, San Diego. I was supposed to do tonight's games, but here I am doing all of them now. It's probably Bama and Princeton, I'm thinking. Bama probably wins that one. Bama's in the Final Four. So Bama, Michigan State, UConn, and Texas. So there you go. Now, a lot of other stuff has happened in terms of basketball. I mean, Michael Shrewsbury goes to Notre Dame. He leaves Penn State. And I thought he was going to stay at Penn State. But he is an Indiana native, and I guess he just wants to go home, and I'm not sure Penn State goes from there. Maybe Pat Chambers, you know, you can call him back. I mean, he's doing pretty, I mean, I don't know. He might not, I mean, but then again, he might not want to leave Florida. I mean, would you want to leave, let's see, where's Florida Gulf Coast located? Florida, let's look him up. Where are they located? You know, at the times when I really need Google to pull up the address when I search it, never does. Let's see, Fort Myers, Florida. I don't know, though. I would have a hard time. Oh, let's see, where's Fort? Let's see here. Oh, yeah, it's definitely in the Gulf Coast. I don't know. I think if I'm Pat Chambers, I'd have a hard time leaving, you know, Florida for State College if that was the case, but probably not. Now, some more players I think have left the Pitt women's program as well. Avery Strickland just left. She was a freshman, I think. I have no idea at this point what you do with the Pitt women's program. Part of me thinks you have to bring somebody that's a little older, more seasoned. and maybe it's her last stop before they retire. That's what I'm thinking. And maybe they can build the program when they give it to somebody else when they're ready. That's the only thing I can think of at this point, as far as that goes. And that's pretty much what I would think. But going back to Penn State, I mean, people do show up there for those hockey games, and if they could invest something in that basketball program, I would think they could probably pack the Bryce Jordan Center. I don't know. But anyways, what else we got going on? We talked rodeo, new kids on block. We talked pit basketball. And NCAA tournament, some coaching changes. Pitt's been pretty active in the transfer portal, it seems. Oh, yeah, we forgot to mention some of the games that happened. Well, let's not forget the TCU bowed out in the second round. Jamie Dixon lost one of his players, Eddie Lampkin, to the transfer portal. He left before the Big 12 tournament. There were some accusations towards Jamie Dixon, and it turns out they were not true. But from what I gathered from reading some of the articles, Eddie Lampkin had a really good NCAA tournament game last year against Arizona, where he had 20 points and 14 boards. He got over six figures of NIL deals, and he never really lived up to his potential from that game. He never really built off of that. Then he had injuries, and Jamie ended up cutting his minutes, and he got pissed off and left. Because here's the thing, if you're not playing up to your potential or practicing, Jamie is not going to play you. If he does, you're not going to play a lot. That's just how Jamie is. Doesn't matter how much money you're getting paid or whatever. He doesn't, that's just, he's not going to pander to egos. And ultimately, it sucks because they could have probably used him in that game against Gonzaga. Because they were winning, and I thought that Gonzaga was done, and Gonzaga pulled, something out of their behind. But, but that's really, there's a whole bunch of other games that happened. I mean, Purdue got knocked out. I don't know. But I'm just going all over the place, so I'll close out here and talk about what happened the other week. My uncle passed away. There's one thing that sucks about when you move thousands of miles away from your hometown is you really don't get to see your relatives as much. Because I think in this month I've lost my aunt and my uncle. My aunt had cancer. It turns out she was diagnosed in I think around mid-February, but it was such a fast spreading cancer and aggressive that she was gone in weeks. And then my uncle passed away unexpectedly. He actually, my dad, my cousin, and his sons, and my uncle, his son, which is my cousin, his sons, which is my uncle's grandsons, and my dad, they all had a group text together, which I'm not a part of for whatever reason. I guess I'm just not, whatever. But I found out Wednesday, I watched the Pitt game, and I got that call that morning, and he passed away. He was 80. He was going to be 80 this year. My aunt was going to be 60 this year. But I found, I learned later that week that I did get confirmation later that week that he did watch the Pitt game. And he even said he even sent a hell of a pit text, you know, to my dad and, you know, his son and grandsons, say, hey, pit one, H to P. Yeah, he did watch the pit game, and of course he died the next morning. But he was a diehard pit fan. I mean, one of the reasons why him and my dad are reasons why I grew up a pit fan. Because I think when I was in the third grade, I wanted a Penn State jacket because they looked nice. And my dad's like, "No, you want a Pitt jacket." I'm like, "No, I want Penn State." And I remember he was telling my uncle about, you know, he's like, "You know, you should see, he wanted a Penn State jacket." My uncle's like, "You're not wearing that shit. You need a Pitt jacket." And sure enough, later that year, I got a pit jacket because that was 88, I believe. That was 88 going to 89, I remember. And that was the John Hancock bowl season. What year was that? No, that was 89. Yeah, 89. That was the John Hancock bowl season. And Pitt played, you know, Pitt was really good that year. Minus a few games, and I was a Pitt fan since, of course, you know, I was hooked then. Then the Paul Hackett era and the majors era happened, and but, you know, by the time I was in college, Walt Harris was there, and things were a little better. It just, my, you know, for most of my, you know, preteen and teenage years, Pitt just wasn't anything. I think I was a senior when, in high school, when Pitt was getting walloped by, you know, Ohio State 72-0 and all that. But anyways, rest in peace, Uncle. Hell to Pitt, guys.